This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. The Republican Party has faced yet another defeat over its long-standing plan to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. Two more senators, Mike Lee of Utah and Jerry Moran of Kansas, announced this week that they would not support the Better Care Reconciliation Act, soon after it was reported that Senator John McCain was recovering from a major surgery and would not be available to vote for weeks. Amid the national debate on healthcare, a new report by the Commonwealth Fund compared the American system to that of 10 other industrialized Western nations. The report concluded that the U.S.'s healthcare system had the highest cost but lowest performance compared to other nations, and that in the U.S., one's income was the strongest factor in determining one's level of accessible care compared to the rest. My guest is Eric Schneider, Senior Vice President for Policy and Research at the Commonwealth Fund and lead author of the new report. It's called Mirror, Mirror 2017. International Comparison Reflects Flaws and Opportunities for Better U.S. Healthcare. Welcome to the program, Eric.
Thank you very much, Sonali. Thanks for having me.
Before we get to the actual report, any thoughts on the way in which this debacle over the healthcare reform bill has played out? As you and I are talking, we're now hearing reports that the Republicans in the Senate briefly considered just a complete repeal of the Affordable Care Act, and that too has failed. Could this be the end of the road for the Republican attempts to reform Obamacare?
Well, I think it certainly could be the end of the repeal that has been now many months that the Republicans have been attempting to do this. The fact that now senators are coming out against the repeal with later, suggests that they may have to come back at another time to try to do this.
So let's talk about what very few senators, particularly in the Republican Party, actually bring up and the causes for why the things are the way they are in the United States. Let's talk about your report. What was the methodology of your report and what did you examine? I understand you collected about 10 other countries to compare to the U.S. Which were these countries and why did you pick them?
Yeah, so this is a partnership that the Commonwealth Fund has had with several countries for many years. The countries are Australia, Canada, France, Germany, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Sweden, Switzerland, and of course the U.S. The Commonwealth Fund conducts surveys of people and physicians, primary care physicians, in those 11 countries. On a rotating basis every year. And this report is a summation of the results that come out of those surveys and also data that come from the OECD, or the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, and the World Health Organization. And combining those data from the surveys and these other sources, we had put together 72 indicators of the quality, the performance of healthcare systems. Those are summarized in the report, and then we use the results of those measures to calculate a performance score for each country, and then to rank the countries relative to one another.
So one of the things that is known and discussed is that it costs more in the U.S. to, you know, we spend more in the U.S. on healthcare per person than almost any other industrialized nation, and that we get the least for it. And then, of course, from there, you have different people, depending upon your ideology, reflect on why that is the case. So your study, I understand, confirmed that we spend more than other countries, but we get less for it per person, right?
Yes, the spending data really are included as background, because when we look at the performance of healthcare systems, we're focused really on what they can achieve, and then we decide sort of, and then we just put them in context relative to the amount they spend. So the U.S., as we found, spends in some cases nearly twice as much as other countries, high-income countries, and yet the performance ranks the U.S. last out of the 11 countries.
And what ranks the best? What ranks the highest in terms of the performance? Because, of course, in the end, we should be measuring healthcare by performance.
Yeah, so if you mean across countries, the United Kingdom has the top performance. Australia and the Netherlands are very close, second and third. So in this ranking, we really see the UK, the Australia and the Netherlands as the sort of top three performers.
Is there anything that these three countries have in common? I mean, we know that the UK has a National Health Service that is basically a single payer type program where individuals, taxpayers pay into a system and then that pays for everybody else. Does that hold true for the top three performing countries?
Yeah, it actually is one of the surprises of the report and an interesting finding that, in fact, each of those three countries organizes and pays for care a little differently. The National Health Service, as you point out, is a single payer system. Australia has a sort of a universal coverage, but a mixed payment system. And the Netherlands also uses managed competition of health plans, similar to some of what goes on in the U.S. health insurance exchanges, to deliver its care. But they do have several things in common, and we reflected on those in another piece. One is the universal coverage. So they, through mandate or penalties, make sure that everyone has insurance coverage. A second is these systems have relatively strong primary care in general.
And what do you mean by primary care? What do you mean by strong primary care?
Yeah, what the other countries do is make sure that primary care is widely available, that it's comprehensive, that people can get access on nights and weekends, and they reduce many of the barriers to getting that care. So that's preventive care, that's early diagnosis, that's managing a wide range of problems that people have. And making that sort of care available, other research suggests that when you make that sort of care widely available, that you're able to anticipate, prevent problems, and apply treatments, screen, discover things, and really manage the problems, small problems, before they become large problems.
Let's talk about the issue of income, which I thought was very interesting. On the issue of how accessible healthcare is relative to your income, what did you find in this report of these 11 countries that you looked at that include the U.S.?
Yeah, so the income relationship is strong. We actually look at above average versus below average income across the 11 countries. This is mainly based on our survey results. And what we find is significant differences in the problems with affordability, so out-of-pocket costs, problems paying medical bills, those sorts of things. And in the U.S., a large percentage of people report problems with affordability of care, for example. 33% of people were reporting trouble affording their care. That percentage is quite, there's a gap then between high income and low income individuals. And one of the striking findings in the report was that a high income person in the United States is more likely to report affordability problems than a low income person in the United Kingdom.
Okay, let's stay on that point for a minute because that jumped out at me. A high income person from the US has more trouble finding accessible healthcare. This is completely the opposite of what I would have expected. Why?
It's really has to do with their system, again, coming back to primary care, the affordability. So in the UK, people pay through their tax system, and the government essentially operates the National Health Service and delivers the care. A person in the UK doesn't face copayments. There are no deductibles to pay. If they need care, they go to their local GP practice and they can get the care, or they go to an emergency room. And there is not any billing or other expectation around that. They've already paid for the care through their tax system.
So here in the United States, there are so many things that are obviously problematic with our current healthcare system that it feels like there's no one single solution to necessarily improve everything. What does this study tell you about the flaws in our system that could guide, if we had a Congress that functioned properly, that really functioned in the interest of Americans rather than for politics, what advice would you give them?
Well, we thought a lot about that because when we look at what those common features are across the high-performing nations, and we think about the amount of money that the U.S. spends on its healthcare each year, we really think there are several fixes. They may not be legislative fixes, but some of them are. But basically, just taking the Affordable Care Act as a foundation and allowing that to continue, not repealing that. But allowing the Affordable Care Act to continue, fixing it so that the universal coverage is, or that insurance coverage is expanded. Because the more we expand insurance coverage, the more it looks like other nations which have universal coverage. A second part of that financing is to minimize the deductibles and copayments. Now, that has not been the practice. Even before the Affordable Care Act, deductibles and copayments were rising over time. And we're more part of the landscape of healthcare. And these affordability barriers are a problem. The second we already talked about was the idea of strengthening primary care in the U.S., investing more in the workforce, making sure that it's widely available, making arrangements so that people have access to primary care services on nights and weekends, and don't end up going to emergency room care. We identified two other areas that the U.S. really could focus on going forward. The third area was the reduction in the red tape or paperwork associated with care. In our surveys, physicians and patients, both large percentage of them complain about following up with billing, denied insurance claims. Physicians, 54% of primary care physicians reported that they had difficult interactions with insurance to get needed treatments covered. So that administrative burden or red tape really gets in the way of delivering care. The fourth area is the disparities in care. And there we really looked at income specifically, but there's a pretty large body of evidence that tells us that the disparities in care can become a something of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If there are low-income individuals or people with of minority status or low education who feel that they're not welcomed in the healthcare system, that they're not well taken care of, they also will be more likely to avoid care. And that's especially problematic because we know that those are the very populations who have the highest health risks in our population and probably stand most to benefit from widely available primary care.
So, Eric, so that's quite a lot of things that you learned in terms of advice you could give to Congress to really fix our healthcare system. What about simply switching to a single payer system? I mean, you talked about the inordinate amount of red tape that even physicians complain about, let alone the way in which it impacts patients. All of that would be eliminated if we eliminated the insurance industry altogether, or at least minimized its role in our healthcare system. The profits that form a big chunk of how much it costs to cover each individual would also be a problem taken care of. Why not simply recommend single payer health care? Is that just an issue of political feasibility?
Yeah, I think it's, single payer has a very interesting history in this country, in the U.S. Under the Affordable Care Act, President Obama recognized that single payer was politically a bridge too far, he, in the ACA, his team really saw that building on the strengths of the existing system where they existed and coming up with a sort of uniquely American solution to the problem of how to expand insurance coverage was politically probably as far as the ACA could take this agenda. I think we've learned a lot over the last 6 years about what's achievable. through the ACA changes, the expansion of the insurance coverage, the prohibition on insurers doing medical underwriting, keeping, you know, taking people with existing conditions and discriminating against them in care, the cost-sharing reductions and the Medicaid expansion, the insurance expansion that has brought many millions of poor Americans or Americans with low income into the system have really taught us a lot about how this kind of system can succeed. The reality is we have a lot more to do, and it's tempting to reach for a solution like single payer, but the downside, by the way, is consistently
very popular in the United States. A majority, even among Republicans, support single payer, polls have shown.
Yeah, it's hard to, I mean, there may be polling results that are suggesting that. I think what was striking to us is that systems like the Netherlands and like Australia, which are not true single payer systems, also do quite well.
But not as well as the UK, which has a national health service.
Yes, that's right. The national health service is unique to the United Kingdom. The Netherlands uses managed competition. I think what is apparent from those other countries, though, is that much more attention has to be paid to regulating insurance markets, regulating insurers, and really looking, taking a hard look at the prices of care. One of the reasons, one of the main reasons the U.S. spends so much more than other countries is because the prices charged by providers and then marked up by various others along the way are much higher in the U.S. than they are in other countries.
Hmm. And of course, part of that is because they can do so because they're so poorly regulated. I suppose if we have to have a health insurance system that dominates our healthcare, strong regulations is what we can learn from other countries. But certainly there are so many people fighting the fight for a single payer system. Even at the state level in California, there's a fight that's been stalled by the action of one Democrat, which is ironic. And then finally, let me ask you this, Eric. The United States clearly comes out last in this list of countries of 11 nations, but you just looked at sort of relatively wealthy Western nations. Any sense where the U.S. falls on a global scale if we, for example, even compare it to poorer nations? Are there poorer nations that do better than the U.S. on how they deliver healthcare?
You know, it's a really interesting question. Other studies have looked at the health of populations and find the U.S. to be further down the list, some 15th or 16th among nations. You can point to some other middle-income nations that have quite favorable health outcomes. I happen to be in Israel. Israel's health outcomes are certainly exceed those in the U.S. Hmm. They spend significantly less even than the United Kingdom, which I think is also quite interesting. I think for us, the main lesson is that spending time to design the healthcare delivery system in a way that meets the needs of the individuals it's trying to serve is really the key. Other systems that design around the needs of patients, the needs of caregivers, are much more successful.
Hmm. Eric, where's a good place for people to find out about the report we've been discussing?
Yeah, if you go to commonwealthfund.org, you can find our report and other research there. We also, on our website, have detailed descriptions of the way that other healthcare delivery systems are designed for those who are interested in that.
We'll post a link to that from our website later today. Thank you so much, Eric.
Thank you very much, Sonali. It's a pleasure to be with you.
My guest is Eric Schneider, Senior Vice President for Policy and Research at the Commonwealth Fund and lead author of a new report we've been discussing called Mirror Mirror 2017, International Comparison Reflects Flaws and Opportunities for Better U.S. Healthcare. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.